Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Paul Bartley, Director of the Program Support Center within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So, Paul, I talked to many of my guests about the use of collaboration and partnerships among agencies and with the private sector to achieve mission results. How are you folks leveraging partnerships and collaborations to improve operations, achieve program outcomes? And most of all, what have you learned from these relationships?
One of the things I set out to do when I started in this role 6.5 years ago was reach out to folks that do what I did. I mentioned that I was at the Voice of America before this, and they were not in a shared services model. It was traditional corporate support. So I had HR, I had payroll, I had acquisitions, all the typical corporate back office functions. So I was well versed in them, but I didn't know what shared services was. I didn't know the benefits of it. And what I decided to do is reach out and find folks that were in this world and find out, you know, what are they doing that's great and what can we emulate? So there's really two paths I took. One is I created what we call the Shared Services Roundtable for federal shared service providers. And there are 8 or 9, depending on how you define shared services, that we invite to this meeting, and we get together and share best practices. This is where I got one of the best ideas. It's completely stolen from NASA. NASA's center was started about 5 or 6 years ago now, very relatively new center. They're very lucky in the sense that they got to build from the ground up with modern technology, modern processes. They actually moved to a greenfield location where they hired all new staff. They really did it right. And one of the things that they had that I was attracted to is a one-stop shop. They have a website through which all of their services are offered. At the PSC, we have 44 different services. I think at the time, we had 44 different ways to reach us. It's a form. It's a phone call. It's walk down the hall. Maybe it's a website. Maybe it's a login here or there. But it was very confusing. What does PSC do? How do I reach them? How do I perform basic tasks? And the idea I got from NASA was we need to put this all in one place. And we started a website. It's called GovZone. It's just getting started. I think we've got 7 of our 44 products in there. And folks are starting to learn about it, starting to learn how to use it. The idea is to someday offer all of the, at least the employee provided services through that site. So it's really a one-stop employee portal, if you think about it. But it's something that we didn't have, and that's something that I learned from them. I've also met the second path is the private sector. Big companies are doing this in a big way. I mentioned Procter & Gamble. They're well known for their success. I met with Boeing, McDonald's, Safeway, Honeywell, Coca-Cola Enterprises. Yeah, all these folks, many are in the finance area, but many in real estate and HR and other areas as well, taught me things that I could use. And every time I met with the one, I would come back and think about, wow, the value proposition here is amazing and how much money and hassle I've saved just from 1 or 2 ideas. And I'll share one other one with you, and that is a few years ago, HHS switched from one bank provider to another for our travel credit cards. So as I mentioned, if you're a government traveler, you're expected to use the government credit card. For one reason, the government gets the rebates from that card. But we went from one bank to the other, and it sounds like a simple process. You flip a switch and everybody's on the new bank. Well, that's not it at all. Everybody has to get a new card because you got a new bank and you got to keep all the accounting codes straight. Is everybody going to be paid the same way? It had a potential for disaster. I learned from there's a company out in Denver that shared services operation. They gave us some great tips on how to make sure this went well. And one of them was to individually track whether people had received their new card. And we did that. And this changeover process was so smooth and so quiet, nobody noticed it. And I just celebrated that fact because I don't want credit. I don't want attention. I just want to keep the trains running on time quietly in the background. It's not something – I mean, I can brag about it here in the terms of a shared services discussion. But getting paid properly 26 times a year is something most of us take for granted. Yeah. It's really hard, and my folks – make sure it happens, and that's the way we like it. We don't want you to ever know that it got messed up or we had to fix something.
I'd like to keep on the idea of celebration because I really want to understand what are some of the key ingredients that made your organization successful, and more importantly, with that success, what advice would you offer a government executive who's thinking about and contemplating a move to a shared services model?
I just go back to what I said about come up with a plan and work the plan. If you want to have any kind of successful enterprise, I don't care if it's shared services or whatever you're doing, if you don't know where you're headed, you're not going to get there. You're going to get somewhere but not there. So put out a plan. Give people something to strive for. In terms of moving folks to shared services, I would direct them to our website, www.psc.gov. We're ready to take on new customers. Some of the challenges, I think, not just those in federal government, but in any large enterprise are going to face is resistance from the people who are currently performing the activities. Most people that are doing their jobs are proud of doing their jobs. And whether they're doing those in an efficient way or not, they're pretty excited about continuing that. So the folks that are performing a particular activity are usually pretty proud of it and not excited about handing it over to others to do. So the idea is to work with us and create a smooth transition. In some cases, we take on employees from agencies or groups that we intend to serve. We've had helped customers with buyouts and getting their folks to move into different roles. But the idea is to sell the cost savings and the convenience. The cost savings is easy to come up with usually. The thing that gets ignored a lot of times is the convenience factor and how easy it is to work with us and how well we perform our duties. The go-kart is a great example. I mean, we went from a process that everybody hated to one that nobody notices anymore because it's so easy.
Well, as you sort of look at your crystal ball, what are some of the major opportunities and supposedly challenges your organization may encounter in the future? And how do you envision your organization reacting to those challenges and seizing those opportunities?
Well, we've talked a lot about growth today, and I think that is going to be a major opportunity and a challenge. I'm constantly pushing my folks to find new customers and grow. And we need to keep our eye on the fact that bringing somebody on is not always as easy as it sounds. So we've got to – that's going to be a challenge, making sure that if we get what we ask for and people come to us, that we deliver. I think technology is going to be a big change agent in the future. Right now we're looking at implementing a new travel system. One of the things that we're talking about is being able to scan in your receipts from a smartphone. That's something you never would have thought about 5 years ago. And 10 years ago, we were all calling our travel agents to buy tickets. Nobody does that anymore in the federal government. So I think technology and probably some changes I don't even know about that are coming in the next 5 to 10 years.
So as you reflect on your career in public service, what advice would you give those who are considering a career in public service?
I would advise them to definitely look into it. This has been a very rewarding career for me. Some of the things that they might want to keep in mind upon entering or thinking about it is you need resilience. This is a tough business, and you can definitely make progress, but you got to have a thick skin and you've got to keep pushing. So resilience is very important. Keeping a good attitude, good humor. I know it sounds hokey, but I mentioned we laugh a lot in my office, and you can't take this stuff too seriously. You have to be respectful of people and just laugh a little bit. And then I guess the third thing would be, as they progress in their career, is surround yourself with people that are smarter than you. And that's not hard for me to do. So I've always hired people smarter than me, and you utilize them, you get their ideas. That's the way to be successful.
Well, Paul, I want to thank you for your time today. I really enjoyed our conversation. But more importantly, I'd like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thanks for having me on. If anybody's interested in learning more about us, we're on the web, www.psc.gov. There's also a phone number on the site, part of our initiative in terms of bringing all of our services together. You can get more information live or in print. Thanks.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Paul Bartley, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Program Support at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and a director of its Program Support Center. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.